Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today, we are finally catching up live, off-site, meaning out of my studio, which is the way this show began. And while I'm actually starting this off, I'm actually going to fire up our Facebook Live for our Live the Fuel fans here on Facebook. So we have returning to us a multi co-host on the show. Her name, Dr. Megan Cannon of Mind of the Athlete. Welcome back to the show.
Why, thank you.
I don't need to give you. Yeah, there you go.
Hi, Facebook. How's it going?
I don't need to give you guys, like, I feel like I always like to give everybody like an amazing intro, but you've been on so many times. I think I went back over the photographs. I think your episode 21, and then there was like 51 or 53, and then we brought you on again around like you and Aaron were on.
Yes.
I think it was episode 50. Episode 50 was
the 50th
trying
episode.
To do that. So it's just been, and then again, I don't know, you've been on at least four or five times, I think. We'll have to go back.
We have
and check
done
the
some
stats.
Podcasts. So, it's always a lot of fun.
And this is why we podcast, because look at this. This is sad. Facebook can't even keep up with us right now. So to our listeners out there, I am trying to do a Facebook Live video, but Facebook sucks because it's just sitting here saying, trying to reconnect, meaning right here today, we're on site at Whole Foods in Allentown. So being that Facebook doesn't like Whole Foods, I'm guessing it's either the weather, because it's literally pouring down
torrential
rain.
Downpours today.
Would we call this cats and dogs? I know it's, you know, that's an old term.
I'd say we're there. We're seeing sheets of rain.
Yeah.
So it's,
and
it's
hasn't
pretty aggressive.
Down.
No, it has not.
So what the hell have you been up to, man?
I have kind of all over the place. Speaking of wild weather, I flew out.
Aaron was starting to make a come up on you. You realize that. Like, you were ahead of her on the most co-host episodes.
I know.
And then like I hadn't heard from you like a month or two. And then she pulled up. And like I was wondering, is there a competition? I don't know what's going on right now. So
yeah, no, I have been just busy with work and then traveling around. And speaking of wild weather, I flew out one day and there was a tornado at the Allentown Airport. So I lived through that, which
was
interesting.
I thought that was just a rumor.
No, it actually happened. I was there.
Here in Allentown,
Pennsylvania,
there
was a tornado on Saturday. I believe that might have been, was it July 1st at the airport?
Oh, yeah, there was a bad storm right before the 4th of July. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And so I was there, but I headed up to Michigan to spend 4th of July there, which was a lot of fun. Did some time on the lakes and got a lot of time in the sun. So that was good.
I did notice that on Facebook Live, yes.
Yep, so I've kind of disappeared from social media.
Now, is that where the lighter hair came from? Sorry, listeners, guys, like, you're not going to get any like crazy video because this is obviously an audio show, but she went from literally a brunette to now basically a blonde.
We're trying things out, you know?
Was this man-made and sun? What's going on?
We'll say it's, no, it was man-made. It was not sun.
This is all new. I mean, Live the Fuel, we've
new.
Never talked fashion
I
before.
I know, you know? Living life to the fullest. Figured
so
I'd
does this mean is
try
this
a new
is
hair
the
color.
Lake look?
Summer look, yeah.
Okay.
Lake, shore look.
Summer lake look.
You know?
Do you feel more bright?
I kind of forget that it's different half the time. It's still very new. And so, but then when people say, oh, hey, you look different, I then remember, oh, right, yeah, I do.
Well, I was telling my now fiance last night.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah,
speaking
you.
Of things that have been going on with you.
I know,
you.
Right? Because like we just don't have enough going on.
I know.
She's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, I'm catching up with Megan. She's like, which one's that one? I'm like, Dr. Megan. She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, she's speaking at SYR soon because she's a member at SYR. And again, for our listeners, that's SYR CrossFit. It's one of the CrossFit gyms that we both get to hang out at. And Dr. Megan likes to come in and teach us a few things, which as a very, very hardcore rewind back to episode 21, your first show with us, that's how you and I met, was through a speaking engagement there. You were talking about something around healthy mindset of athletes and depression and how it affects athletic people as well. I can't remember the exact topic that was named your show.
Yeah, it's really great. Rob over at SYR is really into giving his athletes resources. And so we go in there and it's a service that, you know, I'm thrilled we get to collaborate and get to cover all new topics. And so this upcoming month in August, we will be talking about building confidence going into, as a lot of, you know, the high school and college athletes will begin preseason and we're kind of, you know, not in the necessary annual calendar, but sort of that school calendar. I feel like September is yet another unofficial start and start
that's
over.
That's interesting. So people talk about this whole seasonal shift of mindset and lifestyle. And a lot of people usually, especially here in the States, because we do have international listeners, we had that spring shift. And people are like, oh, well, I'm excited because winter's done. That means my spring sports can start. My summer sports can start. Even at the office, oh, great, we can start going out to lunch more instead of being, like, I don't know, cooped up in your cubicle. I don't know what it is. I didn't care. Year-round, I go outside. I don't really care if it's winter or not. But now you're kind of hinting about this seasonal shift in the fall.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you're spot on in the sense that there are some shifts mentally in different seasons. And I think in the colder areas, it may be even a little bit more exaggerated with the whole spring or outside and everything's refreshed,
like,
and renewed, right, renewed. And so now we don't have to be stuck indoors. And then summertime, I think it's across the board, not necessarily reserved for the first graders. You know, I mean, everybody kind of relaxes a little bit in summer. It's typically when people take time off. If you do have kids, it's easier to travel around with them since they're not in school. And then in the fall, kind of a trend is ultimately then starting and buckling down. And so for us, you know, it's like the cold weather's coming, winter's back. For those parents, you know, kids are back on schedule, which then the parents' schedules get a little bit tighter. And so I think, you know, even though we're adults and have graduated out of the school cycle in the world, there still is a little bit of that ebb and flow to summertime is a little bit more relaxed. And then the fall is when people start to shift and buckle down. And
so do you think people are more antsy or fearful, or like, what do you see? I'm guessing you probably see all kinds.
Well, in the athletic world, it's definitely the time where things start to pick up again. And so our phone does tend to ring quite a bit more. It's the brand new school year. So you think of all the stresses that in the summer don't exist, being that it's summer. And so now we don't have school. We don't have, you know, there is club sports and camps, but it's not like your in-school season, whether you're a college athlete or high school athlete. And so there's a new intensity to some of that's there. And so it's now some of those stressors that come back in, not only performing athletically, but also academically and time management, and things just start to pick up again in the fall. And so our phones do tend to ring a bit more. Anxiety picks back up again after the nice relaxing summer of lesser responsibilities. So,
okay. Well, so with the lesser responsibilities, do you find that people do find it easier to make the transition back into their athletics, or, well, actually, I should say there's more responsibilities, right? I don't know. I'm actually just going to be, for our listeners, if you guys actually follow the video feed too, I'm actually going to actually fire the video back up again. I give up on you, Facebook. You suck.
Thanks, okay? Mark Zuckerberg.
Facebook Life, you know, you guys want us to be shooting these live videos all the time, but apparently you can't give us good cell phone coverage. Well, I should really blame, I guess we should be blaming the cell phone networks, not really Facebook.
Yeah. Verizon.
We'll hold them all accountable. But we'll still get some good video content so we can mix it in with the show. Because, again, in the end, it's about audio. But back to your point on this whole summer to fall transition, your phone rings more. There's more people concerned with that lifestyle transition of, like, oh, darn, my summers are done. I'm back in school, for example.
Yes.
Now, and we've talked about this before. You guys are, I guess you guys are really centered around mostly athletes.
Yes.
But you have other domains of mind of the athlete. You have the professional division, you work with companies and stuff like that, and employees. So, but really most of it is your youth athletes.
Yep. So most are our individual athletes, and then athletic teams and speaking. And so as teams are now starting to come back together, then those engagements start to happen. You know, the new season brings new responsibility and, you know, promise, but then also sometimes new stressors and different situations that arise, which then we have the ability to, you know, come in and help as best we can to just help, you know, whatever stressor or situation that's at the current time, you know, that team or that group of people transition through it as successfully and positively as possible. So it's, you know, the fall, I think, really turns back on. And another point, which we haven't even really hit on, is then the weather. And so there, you know, ultimately now we have reached the max of the longest day of the year. And now we're going to start slowly but surely shrinking back the other way.
And I noticed it, too, just being an athletic guy. Like, my mountain biking season is perfect right now because it's hotter, but I can ride until 9 p.m. at night without even needing headlights, which is amazing.
It's incredible. So. And Michigan, it was, the fireworks couldn't start until like 10:30 because it was still bright outside at 9:45 at night because it's so north.
Wow.
It was incredible. But you know, in talking about, you know, the sun and vitamin D, it definitely impacts our mood levels. And so in the fall, you know, some people notice that seasonal affective component of then their moods just starting to drop with the days shortening, and now things are darker, not as much sunlight. And so there's that as well, just compounded on top of just the transition and kind of diving back into the more structured and scheduled life.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people talk about how, I saw this last night on a documentary. They were talking about, like,
affective disorder.
Yeah. So that's a thing, right?
It's totally a thing.
I'll be a devil's advocate. Like, I really do feel like we've all become a bunch of pussies, and there's like there's a disorder for everything. But you are the professional, so please correct me.
A lot of it is really speaking to vitamin D levels, and Erin, our sport nutritionist, she is even notably more knowledgeable on the different levels. But ultimately, we get into a deficit being that we're not exposed to the sunlight as frequently and as often, especially in levels or in areas such as the Northeast.
Well, let's be real about that too. The vitamin D levels are not just the sun; it is back to your nutrition because your body can only absorb and then process, and then your D consumption or production is related back to your diet as well, which is why Erin gets involved so heavily.
Right, and so there is that, and so we're just missing and that natural resource of just simply going outside and getting that in addition to the nutrition. It's not there as frequently or as readily. And so there is a component and a deficit. And so some people, I know we a lot of times in our podcasts or the times that I have the ability to be here with you, we talk a lot about awareness. I feel that's always a theme. And so people that are aware and start to pay attention to mood fluctuations at times will notice, and that's where that seasonal affective component comes in, that in the winter times and in the fall and those areas where the weather isn't that great, they're not able to be outside, their mood does dip.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I see it. That's why I think I love being a skier, because that's one of the worst times of the year, obviously, for that. But I'm still at least being active. And, yeah, a lot of people get that cabin type of fever thing by the end of the – I guess that's the thing, right? By the end of the winter, you're tired of being kept up. You want more sun. You want more exposure. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people use the winter as a crutch or as an excuse. And I'm like, listen, make the most out of everything. Like, get outside. I mean, it's like – now, granted – you and I were just talking before we started the recording today that I decided to do a Spartan Super last weekend. I'm not sure if I would want to do a Spartan Super on Blue Mountain Ski Resort again in the middle of winter.
Yeah, that's a hard course.
I mean, admittedly, you also look at the schedule of the Spartan Race Series. They purposely aren't planning these races in the middle of winter.
Right, and if they do, they're in warmer climates, because I think when I did my Beast, it was in like February, March, but it was in Sacramento. And I think that was in April. And then I think the Beast I did was in Las Vegas, and that was in February something, you know. And so
in Vegas, you're guaranteed usually pretty good weather.
Guaranteed desert out there. And so they there can't put one in August because it would be just too hot the other way. And so they're really smart of how they strategically place those races out. But yeah, Blue Mountain in the wintertime, I don't think is one that they would do.
No.
One that they continually miss, though, they have a sprint in Malibu every December.
What?
And at that point in time in Malibu, if it's a nice weekend, it's lovely. But if it's raining, and that's one of the times that it can rain, or that it does tend to rain, it gets chilly. And so I think I did that sprint two or three times, and every single time I did it that particular weekend, it would be raining and mudsliding, and it was just chilly because you would be up on the mountains and there's a lot of wind, and it's like 40 degrees and raining, and you're just not necessarily it's chilly.
Since we're on this subject, it is an interesting transition, but you said we might end up actually talking geeking out about Spartan. You've done more Spartans than I've done. I've done a lot of obstacle course racing, OCRs, like the civilian military combine and Tough Mudders and Spartans and all that stuff. And actually, when I lived in Colorado, I used to do some contract work with an obstacle course racing company. I actually traveled out to Boston from Colorado to help them run a race up there. I ran a couple in Colorado. But so your point of view is why do you think Blue Mountain is listed as one of the hardest terrains to do? Because we're right here in Pennsylvania. We don't have a lot of altitude.
Right.
But we have a lot of rock.
Well, and that's the thing. It's for their sprint series, they generally aim for a 3 to 5 mile.
Right.
Blue Mountain is the longer.
It's seven.
It's for even their sprints. It's longer.
Yeah.
If it's not, I know one of the years it was the longest sprint in their series.
Well, 2014, we tracked it. I think we were closer to 7 or 8 miles when we did the sprint, my girl and I. Yeah.
And then just the terrain of it is, it's rocky, but it's loose rock.
Yep.
And so going up and down. And so they attribute it to not only the length of that sprint, because the one in Malibu, I mean, it was 3 miles.
Well, sounds like you're going up hills.
Going up hills, but it was such a short. I mean, I've done these. My brother and I, that was kind of our thing we would do together. And so we would fly and meet each other and do races, and then have the opportunity to hang out when we were living not anywhere near each other. And so in Malibu, I mean, we ripped through that course. It was a 5K, you know. But if the one in Pennsylvania is on the longer side, plus the terrain is just that really like.
But the funny thing is,
loose rock.
It's not like they can't like GPS these courses, so like they could technically make it. the 3 to 5 mile course, but they just seem to not do it.
I think they maybe now the Blue Mountain one is starting to get known because as the hardest
reputation.
Sprint, and so now they want to just keep it that way.
Well, it's funny because when I looked at the map, it's basically the same exact course from sprint to super. Obviously, they add another whole chunk on for the super, and I think the sprint was at least 24 obstacles, 25 maybe, and then I just remember there was, I think when I did the math, there were seven more obstacles for the super. That's all it was.
Oh, wow.
There's only seven more than
that's
the sprint.
Wow. That's
so have you done a super? You've only done base and sprint.
No, I've done, so I did the trifecta, so I had,
we did all
three. Yep. Okay. And so I don't remember the amount of obstacles in them, but they were, between the beast and the super, I remember it being definitely more than the sprint, at least the Malibu one, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I think when I did the math, I think it might have come out to like, it was like 20 to 29 or 22 to 27, 20, whatever it is. I think it's only a 7-obstacle difference. And one thing I also attribute to their distance measurement issues is that you could tell on the map they just draw a line over a photograph of the mountain. So I don't know if anybody besides me wearing a Garmin watch has actually gone out and actually GPS'd it. But the other thing I think they don't really account for is they're measuring distance from obstacle to obstacle and not including whatever little distances are included in the obstacle. So, for example, like the bucket of rock up and down the hill.
Right.
Or the sandbags up and down the hill. Those are additional distances they're not really adding into the, it's 3 to 5 mile sprint.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. So, now, on the Spartan thing, since you are our resident sports psychologist, I love OCR's, just like any other endurance sport for myself, because of the mindset piece.
Yes.
And since we're geeking out on this, I'm going to have you chime in on this one. And the listeners will appreciate this. But you have to agree that, yeah, there's an adrenaline junkie piece to this, but there is that piece, like, you don't have to go out and run a marathon. Like, you can go do a Spartan sprint, and I don't care who you are. Everybody will then have to tap into a mental component at some point. Or repetitively throughout the race.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how many times you've done it. You probably still have to get to that point where it's like, okay, I'm exhausted. I got to mentally keep going.
Yes. And I think those with, I think there's all different types of people, you know, and I know for myself personally, the idea of doing an obstacle race is 100 times nicer than doing a half marathon or something that I'm just running.
Since I've already done marathons
running
and half marathons,
through.
I would rather do an OCR race.
Right, and so in thinking of the OCRs, they definitely break up that monotony. And so mentally, I think that's helpful for some people. Other people, the thought of that, and they just like that steady state running. And so it's kind of getting awareness of where mentally you fall as your strength, you know, which one you kind of prefer.
Right.
And then with the Spartans, it's, you know, there, like you said, there is definitely a point, whether it's you're looking at an obstacle and you have to, you know, scale this wall that is, you know, notably bigger than you are. And it's, there's, I think it, the interesting thing about the obstacle course is in comparisons to straight running is it ultimately taps into a little bit of fear. There's something that I remember being in the one in Malibu where we had to go up a cargo net and we were on top of a mountain. And I, at one point, as being on top of the cargo net while having to get on top of a mountain and crossing this cargo net with, you know, 20 feet below me on top of a mountain, just like that perspective and vantage point is pretty, it's pretty intimidating. And so I think it's, you know,
you don't really have a fear of heights. That's
no,
just,
but it's just in that situation, you become aware of your surroundings and you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world am I doing? This is crazy. And so I think it, you know, it definitely pushes you, whether it's endurance wise or challenging in that way, to a max and a limit.
Yeah.
And so in going through those races, something that's very helpful is really taking it one obstacle at a time or one, you know, and not, you know, yes, you know that maybe the monkey bars or scaling that or the sandbags are coming up. But right now you're on the bouldering wall.
Yeah.
And so this now just has to be what you're focused on. You don't need to stress about this obstacle and the three.
And that's a great point for the listeners is like we talk a lot. We've brought this up on past episodes about situational awareness in life. And you don't have to be in life-threatening situations, but the concept of situational awareness or planning or taking on these life challenges mentally and physically, I think too many people take on too much. And in an OCR, it is literally one obstacle at a time, one hill sprint or speed hike at a time, and they literally use the whole damn ski hill at Blue Mountain. Like they're
they
like,
do.
It's just you look up and you see people way, way up there, and you're like, I'm
oh
not
my
running
goodness,
this.
No
I'm just
way.
Gonna, I'm just going to set a speed pace. I'm just going to speed hike it, you know, and just because everybody, and it's funny because you see people doubling over and like grabbing their legs and stopping and breathing. And me, just from my experience of life and the firefighting bass and everything else, I'm like, I set my vision and I just go. I'm not going turbo, but I pass people. I was passing a lot of people on that course just because they're stopping and they're taking rests. And I just train differently. I do things differently. Mm-hmm. I have that mental game. I don't know if you've done the same thing.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, when you see someone up in front of you struggling, it's then putting the idea into your mind of, oh, man, this must be really hard.
Yeah.
If they can't do it, neither can I. I mean, even no joke, this actually happened to me last night. I was at a CrossFit class over at SYR, and we were doing L-sits, and we were doing imam of, you know, dips on the rings and then 30-second L-sits. Okay. And the one coach said, you know, like, yeah, you know, the record today out of five of them, someone was able to do four. And automatically in my head, I was like, oh, well, if the best person today could only do four L-sits for 30 seconds, there is no way I can do if that best
but
person today.
But who was that best person?
Right, and it was, you know, one of the harder athletes at their gym that, you know, who definitely goes more consistently than I do. And so automatically that, like, I noticed, I was like, wow, that mental block literally just crawled in there. And so in thinking of, you know, those races, it's sometimes seeing those people ahead of you struggling and even knowing some of the obstacles coming up where it's like, oh man, I know that one's I'm kind of stressed about, or maybe in a race before I didn't do super well.
Right.
You know, it can definitely get in the way and ultimately prevent you from, you know, whatever that potential might be that day, and you're just stressed the whole time. And so it's really a challenge, but it's ultimately, you know, there's a reason why horses have blinders on, so they can't see the other people, they can't see the
good
other
point.
Horses, you know.
Yes.
And so it's, if you are able to be one step at a time focusing on you, and hey, I'm just making it up this hill, or I'm making it to that tree, I'm not looking at anything else, kind of like what you said, like I'm kind of looking at this focal point. Yeah. And that's where I want to get. Maybe I'm not going to be the fastest person getting
nope.
there, but I that's where I'm going, that's what I'm seeing, that's what I'm focusing on, one step at a time, and really breaking it down into those doable
I
chunks.
I can tell you, I mean, it was literally this simple. I come around the corner and I look up, I'm like, oh, great, we're doing another hill climb again. And at Blue Mountain, they make you do a lot of hill climbs.
No joke.
And I'm like, all right, I see people setting their different paces and everybody's stopping, and you see people start walking backwards because it works their muscles differently.
I played that game
and
on
I'm like, I'm not doing that. Anyway, so I set my pace, and then I'm seeing people doubling over. And again, me being the coach, I see people like, if you double over, by the way, you literally like cut off the expansion of your diaphragm. So it makes it harder to breathe. So little tip.
That's good to know.
So for example,
I did that last night after the L-sit.
Even in workouts, right? I'm always telling people, like, you get done with a CrossFit workout, people are like, pardon the microphone here for a second. They double over and they're like, and they're like, I can't breathe. And I'm like, stand up, shoulders back, allow your chest to open, allow it to fully inflate.
Yeah.
When you double over, you compress the lower part of your rib cage, that diaphragm area, so those lungs can't fully inflate. I want to allow my diaphragm to open and fully inflate. So when I'm hiking, it flashed me back to my days of doing the wildland fire. I had a pack on and I had a chainsaw. I couldn't double over, or else the weight of the chainsaw would have just sent me doubling
right.
over. I would have fell over. So your shoulders are back. Your back is, everything is, you have good posture and you're just hiking up that mountain. So that's what I do. I literally just look up the mountain. I pick my spot where I have to go, set the shoulders, good big lungs, and I just go. So I know I have a breathing problem. I just see people just stopping and doubling over and breathing, and I'm like, I'm just gone. And that's my little hiking tip anyway.
Makes sense.
So that's
makes
why when I take people hiking, they hate me, because I don't have to be training to just hike well. And this isn't a brag. It's just, it's what I've programmed from doing that 2 years. It took my hiking experience from like decent to like a whole different level. That's why when I moved to Colorado, I started hiking 14ers, because those are such long hikes, like 14,000 foot peaks. So it's like, you got to know how to hike.
Yeah.
And you want to get up and down that mountain before you run out of daylight or bad weather rolls in and everything else. It's a whole different lifestyle. So Spartan racing kind of was really cool, because I hadn't done a Spartan since 14 when I did the sprint. So going back and doing the super, yeah, could I have trained more for it? Sure. But it was just interesting where my brain went during the race, like you were saying, like, hey, sometimes you got to pick one obstacle or one transition at a time. And literally that's where my brain went. I just said, okay, I'm just doing this, and this is how I'm going to do it. And then my brain pulled from past experiences and saying, okay, I have to breathe like this, and I have to hike like this, and I have to keep my posture like this. But that's life experience. Not everybody has that.
Right.
But that's why I think people like you and I sharing best practices here, go out and challenge yourself to do these crazy weird, like some people say, dude, you're crazy doing that stuff. But let's go to the science here, the brain stuff. This is what I can really count on you for. Isn't it true that every time we try something different, we've never done before, challenge ourselves differently, at the cellular level or the synaptic level, we're creating new pathways in the brain. Are we not?
Yeah, we're always, you know, the fascinating thing about the brain is it's always growing and learning. You know, I mean, yes, there is an age and things where that definitely is a decline and it slows down in that the growth of it.
Sure.
But, you know, as we're trying and accomplishing new things and learning new things, there are new connections that are made and created. And that's how then when you, as you were saying, you know, go back the next time, remember how it was done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's that in the challenge of itself. But then there's also, you know, in coming to how it then ultimately makes us feel, those senses of accomplishment that you get, you know, that sense of after you cross the finish line of whether it's, you know, a 5K, a color run, or a Beast
Spartan. Oh, you're
high
on life. Yeah.
It's just, you know, and something that when I talk about body image a lot, it's, you know, we focus so much on the limits of our body of, oh, I don't look this way, or I don't have that, or my muscles aren't big enough, or this, or like whatever it is, male or female, we all have those thoughts.
Yeah.
And rather the thoughts on that rather than, wow, my body was just able to get through 10 miles of this hellacious course. It doesn't matter what time it was. Like, holy
yeah.
crap. Like, I was able, and you reflect back on, oh my goodness, I was able to do this or that obstacle, and maybe it was better than last time or the first time ever I've tried something like this. You get ultimately that your dopamine gets released. I mean,
yeah.
that's a high, which then helps you feel good.
And let's be real, there's going to be that crash afterwards, right? Like, you do such a powerful event like that. The next mm-hmm. day or two, you might be high for a day or two, and then it eventually comes down.
Yeah.
And this goes back to like addictions and everything else. That's a whole different show. But the whole point is, it's like, guys, like, get these highs in your life because you want these positive experiences. Because one thing that I do when I cross the finish line nowadays, I don't necessarily, it's weird. I don't necessarily get I get a little high, obviously. But I actually, when I crossed the finish line this time, I knew a friend of mine was there also racing. So I looked around for her first. Then I just started looking at other people crossing the finish line with the same color wristband, so I knew what heat they started in. Like, we didn't start till 8:45 in the morning after the elite crew went. And a friend of mine was raced in the elite crew. She
wow.
got to go race against the top people. But she's been training for that. And real quick, just so you guys understand, like, I ran like a 3:31 on the sport, and the top guy ran a 1:30 or a 1:31
wow.
or something like that. I'm like,
that's incredible.
2 hours faster than me. Which means when I was setting my shoulders and opening my chest and speed hiking that hill, they were probably running it.
They were running.
Yeah. So there's your training wake-up call, guys. Like,
yeah.
I didn't train for it.
There's the humbling.
Yeah. But, like, that's the point also, too, is, like, guys, like, you don't need to be a top athlete.
Nope. You
know, these races, for a lot of people, is about finishing.
Yep.
Even if it takes you 4 hours, 5 hours. I was passing people that were from earlier heats, and I'm like, good job, guys. Stay with it. And I'm sure they probably maybe looked at my color or my wristband or whatever and knew that I'd started after them. Who cares? Because in the end, when
yep.
I'm in that finisher, I'm looking around, and I start seeing people that I passed coming across.
Yep.
And you're high-fiving each other. Or if there was that one guy that maybe gave him a hand on the obstacle because some of the obstacles were pretty rough, like that one 8-foot
yeah.
wall. Dude, you know about
the
8-foot wall. There's
the
a lot of different walls, but they
yeah.
put the 8-foot wall, like, I think it's like the 6th or 7th from the finish. So, like, you've already run up and down all the hills, and you've already gone through, I think we already went through the water hazards, like, through their holding ponds. So you're already wet, and you're tired. And that 8-foot wall, dude, when I jumped up on that damn thing, it was ridiculous because your calves are so tight. It's 8 feet, and I'm 6'4". But even me, like, I'm pulling up, I'm doing my pull-up, and I go to kick my leg over and just do a little calf grab with my heel as well. And your legs going to cramp up instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, oh, my God, calf muscle cramp. And I'm like, nah, that won't happen to me. Sure enough. So I literally jumped back down and did not do it. And I try and, like, rubbed it out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it again. And I felt it want to go again. I'm like, screw it. Just push through, right? Mental
yep.
over physical. So even people like me, like, okay, I purposely dropped weight so I can run faster. And, like, I'm not throwing as much body mass over these obstacles. So I think I'm down like 185 right now. So I dropped like a solid 5 pounds just for that race, and I want to put that back on. But there's people there with all different body types. Who cares,
mm-hmm.
man? There's some people that are overweight. There's some people that
yep.
are carrying a lot in their midsection. There's people that are older, younger. There's couples doing it together. Dear God, you're crazy. I did my first Spartan with Kristen and her girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, she's a competitive like I am, because then about halfway through the race, those girls were not endurance trained. So they basically, she looked at me and she's like, okay, Scott, we can break off now. I'm like, thank God. Because I'm like running in place, bored as hell. And I'm like,
yeah,
you guys are killing me. I'm throwing each girl over the walls. I'm like, guys, seriously. And I was going to do that one by myself. That's why I came back and did the super myself. And
yeah.
But it sounds like you've done all of yours together.
Yep. So my brother and I would do them. And I think that's, you know, as you're saying, as you're going through the race, sometimes in the obstacles, things kind of get clogged up a little bit. And so you
there's choke points.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so you sort of start to become aware and because you, for the whole, you know, whether it's 10 miles, 13 miles, or even just the 3 or 4, there's people that are the same and similar that you're constantly kind of bumping into. And so there's a nice collaboration, which at times happens, whether it's giving somebody that you have never met in your life a little boost over, like a little push with of their heel or, you know, and so it's, there is a camaraderie. I think that ultimately as you're going through the course and everybody's going through the same thing as you, you're exchanging and trading ideas. I know oh man, I've done this before, and go through the barbed wire this way. It's so much easier. And so it's
I was doing the body roll through the barbed wire.
Yep. That's the way to do it.
And then my new technique this year was, it's a lot of rolling. There's a lot of barbed wire because you have to go down, then you got to run down, turn around, come back, and then you got to roll back up the hill. So, by the way, rolling uphill, really awkward. but you get so dizzy that my new technique is I would then kick my heel in and spin my body around opposite. So I'm still laying all the way across the barbed wire, and then I just start rolling the opposite spin direction to reverse my dizzy. So I figured out that I could split. I think I flipped myself 3 times on the way down and then 3 times on the way up, just because the dizziness was getting so bad. It was like, it's a lot of body rolling under barbed wire. So that's just a random technique that I was doing.
And everybody trades. So I think that's
I never even planned on it. I just saw somebody doing that, and I'm like, okay. And there's like the tiny little spider woman, like just went through military style, like just right past me. I was like, whoa, that girl's really tiny and really quick. I don't know how she did that. Did not touch barbed wire once. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've always done it with your brother then?
Yep. So we would always go through, and we'd go through the course together. And
now, when was the last time you did one?
I think it was probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
Are
you guys
while.
Done doing this now? You guys are kind of like retired as bro-sister type combo? Or?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could probably talk him back into a sprint. Maybe not the Blue Mountain one. But we actually, the last one I did was some of the Spartans do them at the baseball stadiums.
Yes.
And so I did one at Citizens Bank Park. And that one
nice. Was... Is that the Philly one, right?
Yes. Yeah. So in Philadelphia. And so the ones in the ballpark are, if anybody's done Spartans, you know, they're very mild because they're not trying to destroy the park. And so there's, you know.
It's not. That's why Blue Mountain is considered a harder one, because you're in the outdoors, man.
Yes.
You're letting Mother Nature kick your butt.
The ballpark, it's a lot of steps, a lot of, you know, different things like that. But they're really, I always say, if someone asks me about starting them, I always say, if you can find one at a ballpark, that would be the best one to start, just to try out, to get an idea, because they just get harder from there. But that's a good way to dip your toe in, just to get a sense of what something like
tip,
that might be
guys.
Like.
You want to try Spartans, maybe pick the baseball park ones. You're going to be running a lot of concrete steps and stairs and bleachers and stuff, and you're probably going to have even more sun exposure.
Yep, they have a lot of sun exposure, a lot of obstacles. They go in and out of the stadium. The neat thing there was, at one point, we did obstacles in the locker rooms, and so you had to go in
cool.
and do, I forget, you know, a certain amount of burpees in the middle of the, I think it was the visitor's locker room.
So that had to be a choke point too, right?
Yeah, a little bit. And they had a decent amount of stations, and then, you know, they had the walls and things like that around the infield and the rope climb. So you got to run the perimeter of the stadium. And so, I mean, it was really creative the way that they had it done, but it definitely, the black and blue marks were not anywhere near what they were
no.
for all the other ones.
I still have some stuff healing on my body. Actually, I just got a quick leg massage when I was in Syracuse, New York, a couple days ago.
I'm heading to Syracuse today.
Oh, there you go. I just got back. So yesterday I just drove back. But my ITs were still so tight from that, because now all of a sudden, as of 48 hours ago, I'm now doing the Test Your Metal CrossFit competition this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So one of our athletes, she was really, one of our newer athletes, she was really excited of trying to get together a team. And then I found out last week that she couldn't find any guys. And on Sunday, it's 4-person teams.
Okay.
So while I was in New York, I just texted her saying, listen, if you end up finding another dude, like, just throw me in. I'll just show up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we haven't trained for the competition at all. And now I'm going to go do that on Sunday. So whatever. Speaking of cats and dogs, now it's officially slanted rain. We just got to toss this in here. Wow, that's really legit. So, but the point is, like, that massage was amazing because I just had a great leg focus. But that was a good example. It's been, that was a Saturday race, right? So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday night, four or five days later, my legs are still jacked up from the Spartan race. And she's like, she's rubbing my legs, and she's like, just FYI, the bruises on the back of your legs are not from me. These are already here. And I was like,
these are there.
It's okay. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
Yep. You definitely walk away with some battle scars. But
yeah, it's at Spartan racing. It's going to happen. Yeah. Now, so if we had to sum up your experience racing with your brother, me doing my solo thing. Oh, real quick. Have you ever done the Blue Mountain one then or no?
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was my first one.
So you can agree then real quick then. Choke points in life. Hands down, Blue Mountain, the biggest choke points for me are in the woods. When you're running up through like the tiny little trails in the woods, because you can't get around people.
Yeah, there's five people going in a trail that goes from like four people wide to one.
And there's like a single track trail, and you have rocky terrains. And sometimes you just got to suck it up and just pace it with them.
Yep.
And then as soon as you get to the point, I'm like, on your left, and I just jump past somebody. But you try not to be rude about it, but like, well, I'm like, I'm losing time. I know I can run faster than this, but I can't do anything about it because you're in there.
And even in some of the obstacles, there's, you know, you can only have so many people going up on a cargo net at one time.
Yep, there's
and
the cargo
net.
There's
nets, a little bit of lines.
The ape hanger when you're hanging from the rings and stuff.
Yes, there's it happens.
It's life. If anything, so strategically, that's one of those examples where we talk about in fitness how a lot of people mentally and physically aren't allowing enough rest and recovery, right? So, hey, man. Catch your breath. Like, take advantage of being in the shade. You're not in the sun. You're under the trees. Yeah, you're behind a few people. It's like, you know what?
Right.
Recover your breathing. Reset your mindset. And then as soon as you get a chance to break past those people, open it back up again.
Yeah. You know, in life, all those choke points, whether it's, you know, we're talking like very small in a race going into an obstacle or bigger scope, you know, an injury, even bigger scope, just something in life, whether it's, you know, professionally, health-wise or something, you know, we're so easy to focus on the, oh, man, well, now I'm waiting and it's going to impact my time and I'm not going to get up on this net and I want to, you know, we automatically go negative where in those moments where can we take a 20-second time out and look for the opportunity? And whether it is, hey, I get to be in the shade for 30 seconds and catch my breath so then I can really attack things after this obstacle or after this choke point or during this time of injury, maybe I can focus on stretching and some of my mobility and flexibility rather than, you know, the 2 hours I might be spending working out aggressively every day since I can't right now. And
nice.
So it's, you know, having the ability when those choke points and choke holds come in life of, yeah, maybe it kind of sucks. It's not like in your expectations. It's not in the plan or the trajectory you wanted.
Don't let it destroy
you. But how
you.
Is it an opportunity?
Yeah.
Yep. And what things can you do and use that time to excel or expand your knowledge, health area in an area that you otherwise wouldn't have time?
It's interesting because, and actually, there was only one thing that I wanted to ask you now. It just popped in my head before we end the show today because now that I know you have even more Spartan experience than I do, they use this quote online. And I talked a little bit about it in episode 91 a couple shows ago when I debriefed on my lessons learned from the race. But I remember, I forget what obstacle it was. I'm running up the hill and I see one of the little signs is stuck in the ground. And it says, you'll know at the finish. That's kind of one of Spartan's things.
Yep.
So why do you think, or what do you get out of that quote or that saying from Spartans? Because it means something different to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, since you've done so many, and I'm sure you've heard it before and seen it before, but at first, when I first saw that, I'm like, yeah, that's right. It's all about finishing the race. I figured that's all it is. But like, if you dig deeper, there's a lot of layers to something like that.
Well, I think it's, you know, going back to that sense of accomplishment and that feeling, like, you know what your body's capable of, you know, it's that you get that feeling of, wow, look what I just did. And you don't get that feeling. But at the end, you know, so often in life, we focus on goals that we just like, it's the process of it. You then focus back on, oh my goodness, look what I just put my body through. I was capable of doing that. And that feeling that you get at the end and at the finish is, you know, like
you said earlier,
you'll know at the finish. Yeah. You can't describe it any other way outside of you just have to wait. You're going through all of this now and it's pretty hellacious and treacherous.
Let's be real. You're probably like, this sucks right now. I just want it to be over. I literally heard a girl on one point right after that, I think she's just like, why did I do this? And I'm like, because you're awesome. And then I kept going.
Yep. It's like, wait for, you know, once you cross the finish line, the mindset goes from, oh my goodness, I cannot go anymore to holy crap, that was amazing. Like I cannot believe I just did that. And so I think that you'll know at the finish, it's, you know, in that sense of, and then you feel it, but also it's, you know, now how much your body is capable of. And I think as humans, we're in this very, you know, corporate world, you know, overall in general of it, whether it's school or athletics or work, where it's like every once in a while you need to make yourself uncomfortable to know what you're capable of. And doing a race like that, or the Tough Mudders, or even, you know, just a marathon, half marathon, even a 5K, you know, it's, you're now like, wow, my body, you push yourself to a point where otherwise you wouldn't. And it's nice to challenge yourself in that way sometimes.
And it goes back to my point at that cellular level, guys. Like, it's our brain is a powerful machine. Our body is a powerful machine. But yes, you got to take care of it. You got to rest, recover it. You got to feed it. You got to fuel it right. But back to those mental benefits, like, if we stop challenging ourselves physically and mentally, our brain is actually being sacrificed. It wants to learn new things. It's so cool when you see the virtual videos. I will challenge people. I'm going to see if I can actually get it embedded into the blog article for this show. But there's those cool videos where you show at the synaptic pathways, like literally when you experience something new or you connect on something, and all of a sudden you see these two little spots like move over and then boom, tie together, and they just establish a new connection. Literally, that's happening all the time, hundreds of thousands of times daily. But if you're not challenging yourself or learning something new, that's not happening. And that's what we should be doing. That's something I'm taking out of this. Like, we talked about a lot about these choke points and the choke holds of life, and it's like we need to be going through those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're going to be kind of focusing on, I think, with these younger athletes. If we want to go full circle on today's conversation, right, is that when you talk to these guys come August, September, and October,
yeah,
all of this stuff comes together for that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's going to be, you know, the new season or new school year or new, you know, getting kind of back to real life always brings hope and promise. But at some point in time, you know, the path of success, you know, whether it's sports professionally or academically, it's never a linear path. There's always a hurdle. There's always a pushback. There's always a choke point. And so it's, you know, in those moments, how are you able to push through it? And it's looking for those opportunities, seeing what's around you and knowing, like, this isn't permanent.
Right.
It's, you know, just like a race, you'll know at the finish. You know,
yeah.
It's, even though in the middle of it, it seems like it's never ending. And, you know, but there is an ending. And then at the end of it.
Life is always going to suck. All right.
There's always something.
And believe me, when you're in a Spartan race, it's like, yeah, sometimes it's like, man, this really sucks.
Like, I don't know why I paid to do this.
Yeah, it's like, that's the best part. Like, I have friends, my little, like, you pay money to do that? And I'm like,
it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I pay to have my life suck a little bit.
Yep. It's because at the end, that sense of accomplishment and that confidence that you just get from putting yourself through that.
Well, and also it's like, I kind of do it nowadays where, like, you and I have reached these points in our life growth, and I want to resort this back real quick before we end the show, but it's like, it's not just about me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I updated my profile photo with one of the shots of me coming out of the water at the Spartan race. And yeah, I'm proud of that. But if you look at it, I'm not sitting there smiling. Like, it's kind of like a, oh, like, that was fun. Like, you're getting near the end of the race. I'm physically tired. Mm-hmm. But I want to inspire and motivate other people. Like, guys, that's all I'm saying. Like, keep doing that. I'm going to keep doing it. And if that inspires and motivates a few other people to do that, then great. So it's not, for me nowadays in my life, it's not just about me and my accomplishments. I'm hoping that bleeds over and people get a little taste of that. And so I'm trying to use social media, for example, as a positive and use that to kind of spin off. That's why we do this show. It's like, I'm trying to, like, fuel people's health, business, lifestyle. Right? That's what we do all this for. But for you, we talk about every time, we always close out the show with final words and everything else. But on that point that I just said, I mean, how would you tie all that back together to help us close out the show strong for where you're going next and what you're doing next before we get you back on again? Because we'll get you back on again. So,
yeah, you know, I think it's the sum up, I guess, is, you know, challenge yourself. Try something big or small, you know, whether it's a Spartan race or you're messaging someone that, you know, or trying to start a conversation with someone that you think is cute. You know, and every day we have opportunities to challenge ourselves to get that a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, it's fortunately our choice whether or not we choose to take it. And so, if, you know, look for those opportunities where you can challenge yourself. And when it's in the chokeholds, you know, look for those opportunities in those situations to make the best of it. Because in life, there's ups and downs. And we have the great pleasure of getting to go through it. And ideally with people we enjoy and care about. And
right.
So it's, you know, getting that challenge where even though you're maybe at a certain age, you can still push your body and you can push your mind, and, you know, ultimately there's growth that happens.
I think that's a great way to close the show out. Ultimately, in the end, there's growth that happens there. That's the whole point we're talking about here, guys. So, like she said, it's not about, you don't have to go to a Spartan race. Go walk a 5K. Go talk to that cute girl, a cute guy that you've been wanting to. Start up a conversation. It doesn't have to end in love, marriage, and romance, and blah, blah, blah. It could just be, hey, challenge yourself to step outside of your shell and experience something that's challenging to you. Mm-hmm. It could be romantically, physically, mentally, you know. You don't have to go do a Spartan race, although I recommend it.
Although they are fun.
And clearly she does too, because she has crushed it many, many times, way more than I have. So, all right. Well, then this has been a powerful show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me back on. Always fun.
You're always welcome on. So your mindset is powerful, and I want to make sure more people can learn from you guys at Mind of the Athlete, guys. Again, mindoftheathlete.com. Dr. Megan Cannon. We'll tag her in the show notes like we always do. Go check her out at livethefuel.com for episode 93. This is going to air this Monday. So again, to our listeners, guys, this is what we're all about. Keep living the fired up epic life. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to the show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher and get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future as Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenics since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world. You can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour, or more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.